how much money you have in the bank, but you just raised, correct me if I'm wrong, 7.5 Canadian here.
Yeah.
Is that going to fully fund your 26 program? And walk me through the first quarter. What's the plan?
Yeah. So we just raised 7.5. So we're going to enter next year with just under 10 million Canadian in the treasury, you know, and we're just under a $40 million company ourselves. So it's very healthy treasury relative to our valuation. Yeah, that's going to fund the entire exploration for 2026 for us. That includes drill programs at both Darby and Murphy Lake North, which are two of the Denison joint ventures, in the winter. Then heading back there in the summer months and doing another follow-up program at both Darby and Murphy Lake North. So that'll really take us through a year of drilling as much as we can.
Keith Bartnerchuk, Coastal Resources. Good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing good. It's been a while. I think it's been a good 6 months since we've had you on. Give me up to speed. Well, actually, before we do that, give us a 30,000-foot view of COSA. Where are you guys at? What's your jurisdiction? And yeah, we'll go from there.
Yeah, certainly. So we are COSA Resources. We are a uranium exploration company. With assets in the prolific Athabasca Basin in Saskatchewan, Canada, which is home to the highest grade and best uranium deposits in the world. We're a somewhat newer story, but we're led by a team with a track record of making discoveries and really creating shareholder value through these discoveries, with ties to NexGen, Denison, and most recently ISO Energy, where our entire team was part of the Hurricane discovery, which turned into the highest grade indicated uranium resource in the world. Recently, this year, we completed a transaction with Denison Mines, whereby we acquired 70% interest in three projects from them. In return, they became our largest and most strategic shareholder, controlling just under 20% of our stock. They put up their hand and maintained that interest through multiple financings. They've appointed two members to the board, and it's really created this strategic collaboration between our groups. Where, you know, Denison is one of the best development stories in the entire uranium space. And, you know, for us, we have this great technical team. And so it's been a tremendous relationship, and we're just getting started. We're going to be drilling those assets we bought off them here in the next quarter. And so very exciting time for us. And obviously, you know, topped off with that great deal with Denison we completed in early 2025.
Yeah, congratulations. And we'll talk about drilling here in just a second, then we'll go through share structure here. But for those that don't know, and I do know, but I want to ask, I want you to answer it. For those that aren't aware, what's so special about the Athabascan region in Saskatchewan? And I say that to all my viewers and listeners that don't have that one exposure to uranium, but yet don't know much about it and where to start. But tell me about that.
Yeah, so it's really just a geologically unique area on the planet that can form these super high grade uranium deposits. And I grew up in Saskatchewan, the region where it's located. And, you know, it's fortunate that this amazing geological area is located in a jurisdiction that not only allows uranium mining, but actually embraces it. And so that's a huge win to have that in a stable jurisdiction. But just for perspective, the average grade of a uranium deposit outside of the Athabasca Basin is about, you know, 0.2% uranium roughly. So if you pick up a piece of rock in that mine, it would be 0.2% of that rock would be uranium. Whereas the average grade of the Hurricane deposit that our team found when we worked at ISO Energy in 2018, the average grade of that is 34.5% uranium. And so you pick
up. So you're glowing, literally.
Yeah, exactly, right? And that value of that rock sent our, you know, little ISO Energy stock from 30 cents to $6 in 18 months in a much worse uranium market. And so, you know, we're a team that's been a part of wins and value creation, even in bad uranium markets, just because of the value of the rock that we were drilling. And so that's what, you know, we're addicted to going back to this area. We love the treasure hunt. We've been a part of, you know, multiple success stories, and we're looking to do it again here with COSA. And it's worth the chase in this part of the world, just based on the value you can get through one drill hole.
Right. So talk to me a little bit about how much land do you have? You acquired these projects from Denison, if you would. How much can you drill? And just give me hectares or acreages, if you would, just so I'm trying to think of scale here. And then talk to me about infrastructure. Do you have power? Do you have roads leading in? That sort of thing.
Yeah. And so, We're focused on the eastern side of the Athabasca Basin. That's where all the current mines and mills are. That's where a lot of the roads are.
Music to my ears.
And it's an area where we've had a lot of success. I think the one knock on the area on the east side is that it has been actively explored for 40 or 50 years. So a lot of the projects have been what you call pincushioned or like Swiss cheese, just with the amount of drill holes they had. And so the Denison ground that we acquired were projects that they never got around to drilling, just because they were focused on their flagship area. And so that was music to our ears to grab ground in that highly competitive area, well located in amongst infrastructure that haven't been, explored, actively for a number of years. And it's really some of the last few areas of that part of the Athabasca Basin that hasn't seen extensive drilling. And so that really ticked boxes for us. And the rest of our projects, so we have just over about 200,000 hectares roughly.
That's a lot of land.
And I think if people can look at a map of the Athabasca Basin from, it's on actually on our website if people want to go on look at our corporate presentation from 2020 to 2025, you'll see how competitive it is for land in that area and how many more groups have entered the space. And that land is valuable. And we start to piece together land around 2022. I mean, anytime we acquire land, it's because we think it has potential and we want to explore it ourselves. But as we continue to upgrade our pipeline, with this Denison transactions, we've been able to create value by moving off some of our projects that we weren't going to be able to explore. We still saw value in them and we think they're great, but we just couldn't explore them ourselves. And so we have created value that way. And it just goes to show how much value this land is. It has, and it's going to continue to have as we enter this uranium boom. And so it does feel like a lot of hectares when you say it, but we've always taken an approach as a group that we don't get married to the one asset. We don't have a flagship until we ultimately make a discovery. We drill, we churn through these assets relatively quickly until we ultimately make that discovery. And I don't want to be talking to you about the same projects here in 3, 4 years. We've gone through them, and that's why from an M&A standpoint, we're always looking at acquisitions too to continue to upgrade the pipeline until we ultimately make the discovery. And that's been a very successful recipe for us to apply at ISO Energy, Dennis and other groups that we've been involved with in the past.
Sure. Out of curiosity, and this is just pure curiosity, how did you get it from Denison? Denison's a huge company. New York Stock Exchange, all of that. Is it just they didn't have the time or resources to drill it, and that's this
Yeah,
is what
the
you can do?
definitely the timing was right. From their standpoint, they're working towards putting their Phoenix deposit into production here.
So it's just
And
focus.
yeah, but then also the reality is too, I worked 9 years at Denison. And so I knew that team very well. And a lot of our members of our team worked at Denison, and we have a great relationship. I have a great relationship with their team, and even David Cates, the CEO, has been tremendous resource for me, and it actually became a strategic advisor of COSA. And so from their standpoint, the moment they go into production at Phoenix, the market's gonna be looking at, okay, it's good to where's that next pipeline of opportunities. They're actively exploring themselves in and around the Phoenix area. They have the Griffin deposit, which is a tremendous deposit. But if a junior like us can have some success with them along for the ride, that's a win for them too. And these are projects they just weren't going to get to, right? They have tremendous projects, but you can't explore all that land in a focused manner if they want to focus in and around their flagship Phoenix deposit. And so the timing is right to get this deal done. And for us, a thing that happened to us at ISO Energy was, obviously we hit, a really high grade uranium deposit, but NexGen was a large strategic shareholder of ISO at the time. So then when you had that success, it really caused upward pressure on the share price because that stock was so tightly held. And we've done our best to replicate that same scenario here where we have that strategic shareholder in Denison. And so if we ultimately have that success, you could see our share price react more than, say, a different story that doesn't have as tightly held of shares.
Yeah, let's. I'm going to get to share structure. It's one of my favorite subjects, but we're going to get to share structure in a second. But first, talk about you just raised a ton of money. You got it, and I say this with admiration. With admiration, that's what I look for. How much money you have in the bank? But you just raised. Correct me if I'm wrong. 7.5 Canadian here. Is that going to fully fund your 26 program? And walk me through the first quarter. What's the plan?
So we just raised 7.5. So we're going to enter next year with just under 10 million Canadian in the treasury. And we're just under a $40 million company ourselves, so it's very healthy treasury relative to our valuation. Yeah, that's going to fund the entire exploration for 2026 for us. That includes drill programs at both Darby and Murphy Lake North, which are two of the Denison joint ventures, in the winter, then heading back there in the summer months and doing another follow-up program at both Darby and Murphy Lake North. So that'll really take us through a year of drilling as much as we can. And so we're in great shape. This is the healthiest the company's ever been from a treasury standpoint, and it's a great time for us in the sense that our dollars are really going towards drilling. We have advanced targets. I think some of the projects we used to have earlier were great geologically, but they were very early stage. And now we've been able to acquire the right level of maturity projects from Denison that we can really focus on what these walk-up drill targets and focus in these key areas that are, next to the Murphy Lake North is right next to Hurricane Deposit, which we found at ISO in 2018. Darby's right next to Cigar Lake, the largest uranium mine in the world. So we're truly an elephant country where we're exploring right now. And so you don't have to overthink it. Just go and drill in these
Yeah.
areas. That's exactly what we'll be doing with that capital.
Execution. Excellent. Talk to me about share structure here. You just mentioned how much money you have in the treasury, but yeah, how many shares do you have outstanding, fully diluted?
Yeah, so post financing, we have 112 million shares outstanding.
That's very tight. Well done.
Yeah, for sure. I'm fully diluted. Obviously, we do have some warrants and stuff like that. So fully diluted, we're about 140-ish million shares outstanding.
Still very tight.
Yeah, and it's the largest shareholder would be Denison at just under 20%. Our group, like management advisor, et cetera, we still control about 15%. We obviously have supported this story throughout its entirety. And then strategic, we have some long uranium funds, certain institutions, plus certain high net worths that are part of this larger group, and that's probably closer to like 25% of the stock. So it is quite tightly held, and importantly, we're part of Inventa Capital, which is really an incubator for companies like COSA. The largest company in the office would be Vizsla Silver. That's obviously a significant and a tremendous story in the silver space. And so, the partners of Inventa continue to support COSA and fund us. And that's a huge advantage for a junior. Obviously, when times are good, if you're doing great things to start off with, capital will be a little bit easier to get. But when you're just starting with ideas and it's not a great market, that ability to access a couple million dollars just by passing your hat around the office is a huge advantage. And the guys here have been tremendous supporters. And so, yeah, we've built a very tight cap structure. We have a very healthy treasury, and obviously having Denison there, and then obviously backed by Inventa Capital, really, I think, really kind of de-risks our access to capital relative to peers of our similar size.
I would agree. I would agree. Real quick, what strike are the options and warrants written at? And what are you traded right now?
Yeah, so warrants are mostly at around 37 cents, ranging up to a little bit higher.
Sure.
We're trading at 33 and a half right now
Just
cents. And
outside the money.
yeah, options are generally owned by directors, officers, and stuff like that. Their average price would be probably around that 30 cents mark, but it's like I said, they're there mostly to incentivize employees and stuff like that. They're in hands of myself and other people like that.
Yeah. Got it. If you hit, or depending on your drill season, really here, my expectation, I'm just speaking, not speaking for you, speaking for myself, my expectation would be that those warrants, and I'm just thinking about this, would be in the money, so that'd be more cash coming in, correct?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. We've obviously experienced that in the past at some of our previous companies, and that can be a positive for sure. And it
Yeah.
also, yeah, it's good too to make everybody money, right? That Matt put up their hand when it was a story that, didn't have that success yet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, talk me through, really, I guess, just for those that don't know, what's the ETA on bringing this to a mine, whether that's through you, whether that's through Denison, or with an acquisition from somebody else?
So, there's a blueprint that obviously exists, especially in Saskatchewan, as far as advancing something towards a mine. There's varying, I guess, degrees of how quickly groups have done it. I mean, NexGen and Denison are leading the way, but there's a significant timeline here. I think, if you take a step back, It's been more than 10 years at least for a lot of these projects that from discovery to where they are today. I think that's changing. I think what Denison and NexGen have done has really shown that some of these smaller companies, originally smaller companies, not smaller anymore, can advance these things in a meaningful way towards production. And I think people will be able to cause that blueprint to be a little bit quicker going forward. But I think what's important is you look at the valuations of those companies, even pre-production. Denison's what, around 4 billion, Canadian. NexGen's probably 8 billion. And so the value does get realized for the shareholders and stuff quite early on. And I think that just speaks to how, because of the timeline to put these things in production, that speaks to how important exploration is right now too for companies like us, because those great deposits are going to go into production here in the next couple of years. If they took about 10, 15, sometimes 20 years to get in production, we need to find those next great projects right now just to backfill that demand that these ones are going to meet. And so that puts exploration companies in a unique position for sure. And our approach, obviously there's been a lot of M&A across the sector, mining sector. We have a team in the office here, even with Vizsla Silver and things like that, that have tremendous development capabilities. And so we do run a company. If we do have success, we're going to take it, as far as we want to, as far as building a company. And I don't really like to take an approach where we just wait to be acquired.
That's good to hear.
That's not how we run these companies, right? We'll figure out a way to keep advancing that project to something meaningful. But first things first, obviously, we just need that discovery. And so that would be the first catalyst, and that'd be the one that where shareholders could really take in on that initial bump.
And also, I think very highly of Saskatchewan as far as a mining jurisdiction. I'm not familiar with the red tape or the politics, if you would, but I do know that is probably the number one, and I'm only speaking for myself, uranium jurisdiction in the world, pretty much. As also, I do know that the province of Saskatchewan is very friendly of getting things done to mining companies that do it right. So, Keith, if people want to know more information about you, if they want to trade you, give us your website so they can look at the corporate presentation, as well as give us your tickers, and what exchanges you're traded on.
Yeah, so kosaresources.ca is the website. That's where you guys can log on. You can sign up for an email list. You reach out to us. We do actively watch that email, and we'll respond to investors. We're traded on the TSX Venture under the ticker KOSA. We're traded on the OTCQB under the ticker KOSAF. And so encourage people to, go onto our website. There's a very detailed corporate presentation on there. And if you want to sign up for our email list, and plus feel free to reach out. You can reach out to us also on LinkedIn, X, other things, and we'll get back to you. We actively check all of those.
Yeah, excellent. All right. Well, thank you so much, Keith. We'd love to have you on again, maybe towards the end of the first quarter, and talk about some results.
Great. Thanks, Andy.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you.